Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, Text 19. Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guyatamam Shivaha Devarshir Narada Saksha Bhagavan Kapilo Nripa Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guya Tamam Shiva Devarshir Narada Sakshad Bhagavan Kapilo Nripa Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guya Tamam Shiva Devarshir Narada Sakshad Bhagavan Kapilo Nripa Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guya Tamam Shiva Devarshir Narada Sakshad Bhagavan Kapilo Nripa Bhagavan Veda Guya Tamam Shiva Ashir Narada Sakshad Bhagavan Kapilo Nripa Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guya Tamam Shiva Ashir Narada Sakshad Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Tamam Shiva Vashir Narada Sakshad Bhagavan Kapilo Nripa Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Tamam Shiva Tamam Shiva Vashir Narada Sakshad Tamam Shiva Ashir Narada Sakshad Kapilo Nripa Vaishnavis Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guya Tamam Shiva Ashir Narada Sakshad Bhagavan Kapilo Nripa Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guya Tamam Shiva Ashir Narada Sakshad Asya of him, Anubhava, glories, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Veda, knows, Guhyatama, very confidentially, Shivaha, Lord Shiva, Devarshi, the great sage among the demigods, Naradaha, Narada, Sakshat, directly, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Kapilaha, Kapila, Nripa, O King. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, the sage amongst the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of Godhead, all know very confidentially about His glories through direct contact. Purport. Pure devotees of the Lord are all bhavas, or persons who know the glories of the Lord in different transcendental loving services. As the Lord has innumerable expansions of His plenary forms, there are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord who are engaged in the exchange of service of different humors. Ordinarily, there are 12 great devotees of the Lord, namely Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Bhishma, Janika, Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Janaka, Sukadev Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and Yamaraj. Bhishma Dev, although one of them, has mentioned only three important names of the 12 who know the glories of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great acharyas in the modern age, explains that Anubhava, or the glory of the Lord, is first appreciated by the devotee in ecstasy, manifesting the symptoms of perspiring, trembling, weeping, bodily eruptions, etc., which are further enhanced by steady understanding of the glories of the Lord. Such different understandings of bhavas are exchanged between Yashoda and the Lord, binding the Lord by ropes, and in the chariot driving by the Lord in the exchange of love with Arjuna. These glories of the Lord are exhibited in His being subordinated before His devotees, and that is another feature of the glories of the Lord. Shukadev Goswami in the Kumaras, although situated in the transcendental position, became converted by another feature of bhava and turned into pure devotees of the Lord. Tribulations imposed upon the devotees by the Lord can constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and the devotees. The Lord says, I put my devotee into difficulty, and thus the devotee becomes more purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me. Placing the devotee into material trouble necessitates delivering him from the illusory material relations. The material relations are based on reciprocation of material enjoyment, which depends mainly on material resources. Therefore, when material resources are withdrawn by the Lord, the devotee is 100% attracted toward the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Thus the Lord snatches the fallen soul from the mire of material existence. Tribulations offered by the Lord to his devotees are different from the tribulations resulting from vicious action. All these glories of the Lord are especially known to the great Mahajans like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kapila, Kumara, and Bhishma, as mentioned above, and one is able to grasp it by their grace. Om Jnana Timaradasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada says, such different understandings of bhavas are exchanged between Yashoda and the Lord, binding the Lord by ropes, and in the chariot driving by the Lord in the exchange of love with Arjuna. These glories of the Lord are exhibited in his being subordinated before his devotees, and that is another feature of the glories of the Lord. So, normally, Krishna is seen as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya, it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Britya means servant. So Ishvara means controller or master. So there's only one person ultimately who is the supreme master of every other personality who exists within all the cosmos, the entire cosmos. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, Krishna says, he's the source of everything. So all personalities that exist, whether in the spiritual world or the material world, they're all expansions of the one supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And they are related to him as servants. Lord Chaitanya says that the eternal constitutional position is of every soul is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. So, in the chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam that deals with the story of Mother Yashoda trying to bind baby Krishna with ropes, it's stated, Vritya Vashanaya, that Krishna comes under the control of his Vritya or his servant. And that is illustrated when he agrees to become bound by Mother Yashoda, or when he agrees to become the charioteer, the chariot driver of Arjuna. He takes a superior position. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna tells Krishna, take my chariot to the center of the battlefield so I can see who are the great personalities who are arrayed against me and who I will be fighting in this battle. So Krishna, he obediently drives the chariot according to the instruction of Arjuna. So one of the names of Krishna is Partha Sarathi, you know, the chariot driver of Arjuna, and, you know, the deity of Krishna in our New Delhi temple is called Partha Sarathi after that. Because it's so amazing that Krishna, although the supreme controller, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Krishna is the supreme controller, yet he agrees to become controlled by his devotee and follow his orders. You can just imagine, you know, like Krishna being your driver. Krishna, can you give me a ride to the airport? So normally, we're meant to see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and behave as his servant. But sometimes in his relationships with his pure devotees, the devotees don't see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and neither does Krishna see himself as the Personality of Godhead. I was reading in the 42nd chapter of the Nectar of Devotion. It's about fraternal loving relationships, relationships in the Sakya Rasa, the relationship of friendship. You know, there are different kinds of friendship rasa that are displayed by Krishna and his pure devotees. In the Vaikuntha planets, Srila Prabhupada explains, there's a kind of Sakya Ras. It's called Gaurava Sakya Ras. It means friendship, but friendship in awe and reverence, not as complete equals. But in Goloka Vrindavan, there's another type of Sakya Ras called Vishramba Sakya, where Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, they're not approaching him with awe and reverence. They're treating him just like another kid. And the older ones, they kind of boss him around. And, you know, and Krishna himself, by the arrangement of his yoga maya, doesn't perceive himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, I was reading in that chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, which is Srila Prabhupada's summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. I was reading in the first part of that chapter that there are different features of Krishna that attract the devotees in the Sakya Ras. And Srila Prabhupada said, one of them is Krishna's joking nature, which is manifested by his pretending to be a great prince or pretending to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I was really amazed, you know, to read that Krishna, among his friends, will pretend sometimes to be a great prince, you know, with a crown on his head, or even pretend to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His friends go, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, what else? Krishna. So, normally, that's to not recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead for devotees at our level of advancement is a bad thing. You know, to think that one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the fundamental mistake that the conditioned soul makes. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavanchakare Nikatashta Mayatare Chapatiyatare. When the soul turns from Krishna and tries to become an independent enjoyer, in other words, one thinks one is God, then such a soul is captured by Maya and put into different miseries until the soul understands its real identity as servant of Krishna and obeys Krishna's instructions. Mame kam sharanam vaja. Just surrender unto me. But among Krishna's pure devotees, their relationships with him are based on another platform. So sometimes in their exchanges with Krishna, they imagine that they're Krishna. Like when Krishna went away from the gopis and the rasa dance, you know, they began feeling great separation from him. And one of their bhavas was transcendental madness. And in their transcendental madness and feelings of separation from Krishna, they began to imitate Krishna's pastimes. You know, here I am, I'm killing the demon Agasura. Here I am, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And they would act out those pastimes. Or sometimes in our society here, you know, devotees put on plays, and some devotee is selected to play the role of Krishna in a drama, and they have to take on that role as a service to the devotees. So, in these relationships, these bhavas, these ecstatic relationships that are exchanged between Krishna and his pure devotees, Krishna agrees to become subordinate to them, and sometimes he puts them in positions where You know, they think they are him. You know, it's something that happens. But that only happens with Krishna's pure devotees. If anyone else other than Krishna's pure devotees adopts that kind of attitude, it's a disqualification. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yayata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So we're trying in devotional service to come to the level of surrender that we can exchange these bhavas with Krishna. But we, on our path, we may still have some material motivation. We may not have yet come to the stage, you know, described by Lord Chaitanya in his Shikshastika, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamehe Mama Janmani Janmani Ishware Jagavad Bhaktir Hoitiki Toyi. You know, where we don't want anything in exchange for our surrender to Krishna. So, in this purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada makes an amazing statement about how Krishna deals with devotees who are approaching him but still have some material motivation or attachment. Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, tribulations imposed upon the devotees by the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and his devotees. The Lord says, I put my devotee into difficulty, and thus the devotee becomes more purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me, placing the devotee into material troubles necessitates delivering him from the illusory material relations. So, keeping that in mind may be difficult, but we get plenty of chances to practice that in this world because Krishna is so kind to us and his loving relationship with us that he puts us into difficulties. I think, you know, we all experience that in one way or another. But as Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, that's just Krishna's way of purifying our love for him, our transcendental bhava or relationship with him. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment?
What about, Prabhu, when the devotee, this is pure devotees, but for us or for devotees who are trying to be pure, sometimes they might engage in business transactions, trying to make some business, and they made the wrong choice, or marriage relationship, and then later on they are put into so many tribulations. Can you speak about that? Can you expand?
Srila Prabhupada himself describes his own life in terms like that. Yeah, I was reading one conversation that Srila Prabhupada had where he was discussing his life and devotional service. And he said, he described how his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, gave him the order to go to the West and spread Krishna consciousness in the English language when he was quite young. And Srila Prabhupada explained how he was thinking, well, how am I going to do that? It's going to require some resources, so let me engage in my business activities. Srila Prabhupada ran a pharmaceutical business, and he said, in terms of his bhava or relationship with Krishna, he said we were having a little argument where I was saying, first, before I go to the West, I need to make some money, I need to get some resources. And he said Krishna was saying, no, you just go immediately and I'll take care of everything. So he said it was a transcendental disagreement between me and Krishna. But eventually Krishna won the argument and he went. So, like you were saying, well, that's an example of Krishna's dealings with a pure devotee. And it was kind of amazing, because it gave some insight into what was going on between Krishna and Srila Prabhupada during that phase of his life. Because you could look at it externally and you'd see it in a certain way. If you just take a more materialistic view of Srila Prabhupada and what he did and how he did it and try to explain it in material terms. But he was giving some insight internally. No, it wasn't just some material set of circumstances. It was part of his eternal transcendental relationship with Krishna. Something was going on. So the pure devotees, they can appreciate that. Now, for those of us who are in the intermediate stage of devotional service, where we're becoming purified from our material attachments, we may not at first be able to appreciate how Krishna is reciprocating with us in different ways. And we tend to think, I am the doer, this is happening to me. We don't see it as Krishna reciprocating directly with us. But gradually we can get some insight and appreciation of that. At least we're being directed to try to see things in that way. And ultimately we have to be able to do that in order to fully enter into a direct relationship with Krishna. At some stage you have to be able to start appreciating how Krishna is reciprocating with you in your practice of devotional service, which is ultimately, it's not just some activity, it's devotional service to Krishna. So it's with Krishna that we're reciprocating, through the transparent via medium of Krishna's representative, but it's with Krishna that we're reciprocating, and we're being directed to learn how to see things in that way. Madan Mohan, who was talking to me about these things before class.
A wonderful class. Thank you so much. That last anecdote, I was remembering that when Prabhupada actually came to Los Angeles, he, in his arrival lecture, in I think it was 1970, he gave a similar story about his past, and he quoted one verse from the Bhagavatam, the 88th chapter, text 8, you know, Yashaham Anuganami, that when Krishna...
Harishetad Janam Janai.
He said, if I like you, you know, I... So he was using that verse as his life as an example of that verse, how with his family and his business and coming to America, and the devotees, they all started to laugh. And then Prabhupada very seriously, he said, this is not a laughing matter. So,
oops.
So it was just interesting.
Thank you. Archita?
Thank you very much. It's a comfortable... Satchidananda's question was about in the mixed stage, and sometimes it can be seen that this verse applies directly to that stage. Yes, Yahamad, because Krishna says, Tasyadanam Tajantyasya Swajano Dukaduketam. When I take away the wealth, Tasya Adanam, then everybody leaves this poor fellow. You're nonsense, you're foolish, you don't have any money.
Yeah.
And in that stage, when he has no other recourse, then he turns to me. And Prabhupada mentions that in today's purport also, that Krishna puts the devotee in a specific situation where he has to only concentrate on transcendence because he has no other option. So the pure devotees are not in that stage. Prabhupada was using his life as an example just for whatever reason. But he was not obviously in that stage where he was. But so Krishna, what the lesson, as you said, for us is that in this stage you can already start to appreciate that you're dealing with Krishna. And that's why Prabhupada always advises us, take everything as Krishna's mercy. Whether he's pouring it on you, you know, in terms of success, or he's taking success away, see it as Krishna's mercy either way. And that way you become more and more Krishna conscious. The pure devotees obviously are not in that stage. Whatever stage they're in, like if we look in Chaitanya Leela, we have Kolava Sridhar, who had nothing. And still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was arguing with him about the price of his bananas and stuff like that, and stealing from him, taking and not paying. So, and then you have the other extreme, where you have Prataparudra Maharaj, who had everything. And you know, eventually got the darshan of the Lord. But he was also a pure devotee. So sometimes it can be confusing. Who is a pure devotee? Is it a poor person? Some people think you have to be pure to be a devotee. Poor. If you have money, then you're not a devotee. Somewhere or other, you're a materialist, you're cheating. But that's not true. We have extremes, again, from Krishna's Leela, from Chaitanya Leela. Some devotees are very wealthy. Nanda Maharaj's father is very wealthy. And then you have the other extreme, where very poor. So it's not so easy to recognize pure devotees, because they could be in any stage. They could be poor, they could be rich, they could be in between.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.